On behalf of the faculty and staff of Eastern Mennonite University, I welcome all of you to this celebration. To the class of 2012, this is your day. Congratulations for all the hard work you have completed to reach this very significant milestone. On behalf of the entire faculty and staff of EMU, we extend a special welcome to family and friends of this class. We welcome you to join in celebrating the educational achievements of these graduates of Eastern Mennonite University. Our graduates know full well that your support has been an integral part of their college success, whether undergraduate or graduate, culminating in this celebration of their accomplishments. In this commencement exercise, we send you forth as 2012 graduates to new communities and to new opportunities, and pray that you will continue to experience Christ and follow His call to witness faithfully, serve compassionately, and walk boldly in the way of nonviolence and peace. We know this mission is frequently not popular, that we have not provided you with perfect answers for the journey, but we pray that in our time together we have also learned some things that will make us a better university and each of you a better follower of God who created us all and seeks to be in communion with all of God's creation. Andrew Dula of Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and chair of the Eastern Mennonite University Board of Trustees, will lead in our opening prayer of invocation.
Will you pray with me? God of wisdom and power, love and sacrifice, we take this time at the start of our graduation to ask for your blessing and guidance as we pause at this crossing place. We remember with honest gratitude that those graduating today did not get here by accident. This has been a long journey that started before anyone ever arrived at Eastern Mennonite University. We take time to remember all those who have encouraged, taught, nurtured, prayed, and paid that we could be at this crossing place today. We give thanks for the families. We give thanks for the teachers, mentors, and professors. We give thanks for faithful friends. At this crossing place, we look back over the years of study at EMU, the papers, exams, classes, deadlines, extensions, relationships, road trips, games, sleepless nights, laughter, and sadness, and we give you thanks. At this crossing place, we look ahead with anticipation and with anxiety to a future which is sometimes uncertain and always unknown. And God, we pray that you would bless and guide those graduating today. We don't ask today that you would prosper their plans and schemes, but rather we pray that your Spirit will guide those graduating today to walk gently in your path of love, seeking justice, making peace, cherishing the earth and one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As we gather for this celebration today, we remember with special fondness a member of this class who is not here with us. Our thoughts and prayers are with the family of Theodore Brian Yoder of Kelowna, Iowa, a beloved member of the class of 2012. On March 3, 2012, I presented Theo with an honorary Bachelor of Arts degree in Bible and Religion, in the presence of extended family members and friends. Theo had been fighting a long battle with cancer and passed away on April 12. Theo endeared himself to many of us at EMU with his quick wit, his engaging personality, and indomitable spirit. Many of the graduates today and some of us on the platform are wearing small mementos of his memory that need a little bit of explanation because they fit the character of Theo. These are little pieces of baler twine. Theo was an Iowa farm kid. When he graduated Iowa Mennonite School, they, like we, had a practice of recognizing particular students, in that case for academic excellence, by what we use as cords of distinction, although for them it was simply an academic recognition, as I understand it. Theo didn't quite meet that qualification, as I understand it. So he and a friend wore Baylor twine for the day. So we wear Baylor twine in his honor. Theo will be sadly missed by his family and friends in the EMU community. And I invite us to share just a moment of silence in his memory and to pray for the family as they continue to adjust to his loss. Amen. The graduates' perspectives will be given by undergraduate students Carmen Miller and Andrew Richter. Susan Clark will speak on behalf of the Adult Degree Completion Program, and Tammy Briggs will speak on behalf of graduate programs, representing the first graduates of the new Master of Science in Nursing program. Will you come in that order, please?
Good afternoon, EMU faculty, staff, distinguished guests, supportive family members, friends, and loved ones. And hello, class of 2012. Welcome, finally, to your university commencement. Take a deep breath and look around. Let the fact that you accomplished this sink in and think of all the things you have to be proud of. Be proud that you are an Eastern Mennonite University graduate, and the Christ-centered beliefs that permeate this campus and that have, in one way or another, touched the deepest part of your soul and reminded you of the love of God. Be proud of your cross-cultural experiences, South Africa, India, Guatemala, Spain, Washington, D.C., Israel. Be proud of the professors that challenged you, empowered you, guided you, mentored you, and pushed you. Their insight helped you grow both in and out of the classroom. Their letters of recommendation will get you jobs. And especially at EMU, these relationships will continue to be significant because these professors deeply care about us and want to see us succeed. Be proud of the intramural sports teams you're a part of, the clubs and organizations you led and participated in, the chapels you sat through, the speakers you listened to, the documentaries you saw. These things showed you our broader world, challenged you to think outside the box, and encouraged you to talk about these important issues. Be proud of the friends you have made, those people who have become your confidants, your laughing mates, your dinner buddies, your dumpster diving companions, your roommates, your study partners, your hiking escorts, your shoulders to cry on. These are the people you will hold on to, who will accompany you through the next seasons of life, and with whom you will always have plenty to reminisce about. And finally, be proud of yourself. You are the one who has worked hard for this diploma. Be proud of your study habits, your ability to balance work with play, your desire to get involved in things around campus and within the community. Be proud of the growing you have done, the hard lessons you have learned, the fits of stress that you have overcome. Be proud of the laughter, the hugs, the inspiring conversations. Be proud of the person who will walk across this stage today to receive this diploma. There are so many words of wisdom I could attempt to impart on you today, but the most valuable thing I have learned up to this point, and I believe will still be the most important lesson of my life, is that all else seems insignificant without relationships. This fact had never been more prevalent in my life than with the recent death of our classmate and friend, Theo Yoder. Theo was a great friend, and in turn was constantly surrounded by people who loved him. And until the very end of his life, it was those loved ones he wanted to spend his time with and who wanted to be near him as well. Because Theo already understood a lesson that I have to keep reteaching myself. It is the life-giving, soul-replenishing, laughter-inciting, tear-catching relationships that matter most. As you go on from here, sustain those relationships that sustain you, your relationship with God, your parents, your family, your life partner, and the many meaningful relationships you will have along the way. Because as Anthony Robbins once said, the quality of your life is the quality of your relationships. And now, as we take this big step, allow yourself room to breathe, to cry, to talk, to be silent, Continue to find joy in the little things, but more than anything, cherish your past experiences. Share them with others, but don't miss out on the present, because there is so much life going on around you. And remember to be grateful. You have so much, and it is not to be wasted. I end with a quote by John Eldridge. And thinking of life as a journey reminds me to stop trying to set up camp and call it home. It allows me to see life as a process, with completion somewhere down the road. Thus, I am free from feeling like a failure when things are not finished, and hopeful that they would be as my journey comes to its end. I want adventure, and this reminds me that I'm living in it. Life is not a problem to be solved. It is an adventure to be lived. Congratulations, class of 2012. Let the adventure begin.
President Schwarzendruber, Provost Nis, Dean Heise, and professors that have taught and mentored us, I'm here to tell you that your students are going to do great things. Parents that nurtured us throughout our lives, I'm here to tell you that your sons and your daughters are going to do great things. Spouses who love us, I'm here to tell you that your husbands and your wives are going to do great things. Siblings, friends, grandparents, and all loved ones that have supported us, I'm here to tell you that the class of 2012 is going to do great things. We will take the tools that we've learned and we'll apply them. Some of us will find work. Some of us will go to graduate school. Some of us will do service, and hopefully we all find a little bit of time to take a well-deserved break. As this phase of our life comes to an end, we anticipate our futures. Each one of us has hopes and dreams of our own. We wonder where life will lead us from here. Some of us welcome the uncertainty, and others find it unnerving. But wherever we go, we will take our friends, if not in body, then in spirit and in mind. We will remember the life lessons that we learned from our professors, when even they recognize that there are more important things in life than sticking to a lesson plan. We will take our experiences that have shaped us to become the people who we are today. We've poured our hearts and souls into the past 4 years. We've studied for exams, written papers, prepared presentations. We've played intramural and intercollegiate sports. We've sang in choirs, participated in clubs, and acted in plays. We've flown across the world, explored foreign countries, and truly experienced global community. We have developed new friendships and strengthened old ones. We have strived, we have attempted, and we have achieved. We have poured our heart and soul into the past 4 years. We performed poorly on exams. We've received bad grades on papers, and we have botched presentations. We have experienced disappointment in our endeavors. We have felt lost, confused, and afraid. We have experienced loneliness. We have strived, we have attempted, and we have failed. But out of that failure comes something great, the true value of our college education. Persistence, integrity, growth, and a true desire to succeed. Because it's not the easy things that we've experienced that have defined our college careers. It's the moments when we experience impossible odds and conquer them. It's when we feel overwhelmed and find ways to press on. It's when we fail, and instead of rolling over, we decide to do something about it. So how do I know that we're going to do great things? It's because we've done them before, and we've done them here. Thank you.
Greetings, President Schwarzendruber, Provost Nis, Dr. Cockley, honored guests, family, friends, and my companions in Cohort 66. It is an honor to have been asked to reflect on our journey through the adult degree completion program in nursing. In reflection, I wrote a few poetic lines to describe it, and I hope to do justice to this last 18 amazing months. From the very beginning, We learned about learning. Knowledge, they said, was to be our way out. Certain and sure we were nurses, remember? That learning was easy, but our modules cast doubt. Myers-Briggs was the key on the map we would follow. The letters were road signs to color the route. Not easy to trek was the life learning paper. But what was ahead, we were soon to find out. Theory, it seems, is more than just guessing. It's research and study and research again. It's finding your style, then completely redressing to try on a theory to dawn to the end. We saw with new lenses and culture perspectives who heals without pills, who fights hard to live. We learned about people as different as Hmong. Within their traditions, their convictions are strong. A paramount theme is the health of the family. Without it, our lives and our futures won't exist. The genogram map brought great understanding, aware of where we've begun and what we have missed. Lost in the maze are the ones without health care. Policy dictates the twists and the turns. Having a voice is a nursing commandment. We speak to the system and we plan new amendments. Next came an awkward part, physical assessment. We listened to breathing and beating heart sounds. We examined each other with clinical abashment, all dressed up like patients in hospital gowns. Statistics is hard to find something to rhyme with. It's even harder to reason it out. Tracking answers to problems too lengthy to tell on something called Texas with buttons from, well, you know. Research was back. We thought we were done. But something called evidence-based had begun. More research and study and research again. We ought to be smart when this comes to an end. But when one thing ends, something new can begin. The pre-surgical clinic is a well-thought vision. Ideas and hard work from risk-taking leaders prove nurses are able to be more than just dreamers. Issues and values and ethical unrest, we all have opinions on which way is best. Ethics can help us hear all of the voices, but better or worse, we still make our own choices. The homeless, the hungry, and those out of work are there all around us. You just have to look. So talk to a nurse. She will help you to start to open your eyes, your hands, and your hearts. Thank you.
Good afternoon to the president, provost, graduates, staff, family, and friends. It is an honor to stand to you before you today on behalf of the graduating class. First, congratulations to everyone for your great achievement. Because we are all sitting here, we have the testimony today that we've made it. We have persevered, and now we are benefiting from our labor. I would like to leave you today with a few words of encouragement and some thoughtful words for thought. You have been given this great privilege to be a light in the midst of a dark world. Take this degree and run toward the opportunities that it affords you with great expectation that you will and can make a difference. Never underestimate the power of one. You were called to have an impact in your circle of influence and to use your gifts and talents to build others up and to bring needed change. You have this unique opportunity to bring your specific character and integrity to a world that at times lack authenticity. To all the professors, instructors, and assistants, I speak on behalf of the graduating class to say thank you for your labor of love to equip us for the challenges and opportunities that lie ahead. I would like to leave you today with a scripture, Philippians 1:6. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Again, congratulations.
Thanks to each of you for those reflections. It's my honor to introduce our guest speaker for today, Dr. Abigail Disney. You can read much more about her in the program booklet, a more complete introduction. Abigail is a philanthropist and a scholar focused on women's issues and peace building. She is the granddaughter of Roy Disney and grandniece of Walt Disney, co-founders of the Walt Disney Company. Abigail is an award-winning filmmaker. Her longtime passion for women's issues and peace building culminated in the award-winning feature documentary, Pray the Devil Back to Hell, a documentary that shows how Liberian women forced their warring men to arrive at a peace settlement that led to the election of Africa's first female president. The film focuses on the peace activism of our own EMU alumna and 2011 Nobel Peace Prize laureate, Lima Bowie. And might I just say that you, as this class of 2012, lived through a historical year with us at EMU, and that you will always be able to say that you graduated the year that we named our first Nobel laureate as one of our alumni at Eastern Mennonite University. And I'm looking to you to produce the next laureate. Please join me in welcoming Dr. Abigail Disney as she speaks to us on the theme, Why Women?
Thank you. So in just 1 week, mothers across the country will be lounging around in their jammies until late afternoon, eating incompetently scrambled eggs, looking at beautiful little cards made of some bizarre combination of spray paint and macaroni, admiring the roses from the deli on the corner. That's how my Mother's Day goes anyway. It's in many ways the most shamelessly overblown and commercial holiday of the year, but I also love it. It's one of my favorites. And I love it for reasons that are both frivolous and self-centered. I have to admit that. But it also has a really important story to tell us about women, about men, about the history of this country, and about why the future is deeply intertwined with the decisions that we're going to be making in the next few years about women and women's rights. The origins of Mother's Day are very much about peace. And the fact that that aspect of this day has been lost has been very much to all of our detriment. Now, I just want to take a moment to speak to the men in the audience. I remember in high school when the principal would come in and start talking about the debate club. And generally, that was when the daydreaming began. And I'm a woman, and I'm talking about women, and I have brothers, I have a husband, I have sons. I know the way the eyes glaze over. So this actually does have everything to do with you. And in an act of good faith, to make it worth your while to listen while I talk about women, I've asked my sons in New York to text me every 5 minutes with the score of the Spurs Jazz game. So Tiago Splitter just had an awesome tip-in to end the first quarter. Spurs lead 28-2. Go to Spurs. 28-22. Go Spurs. There's never been a commencement in the history of the world that didn't interfere with a playoff game. So I promise to keep that up for you for a while. If you listen, I promise to make this about you. I promise this has everything to do with you and our shared future going forward. So just be with me for a little while. So back to Mother's Day. It's 1870, and a woman named Julia Ward Howe was a prominent activist, suffragist, feminist. I'm going to use the F word a lot. Try not to be scared. She was known more than anything for the lyrics to a song that everybody learns in elementary school, the Battle Hymn of the Republic. She wrote it as a pro-war hymn. She wanted the men of the North to join the army and go to the South and fight for the end of slavery.
But by the end of the war, the feminists like her and her found herself more horrified by the absolute carnage of the war than thrilling in the victory that it had brought about. No matter how noble the cause, the war had been traumatic and sobering for the very women who had called for it as the only way to remove the blight of slavery from the continent, and Howe, who had written the most jingoistic pro-war song probably in the history of our country, was transformed by the end of the Civil War into a militant pacifist. It's important to remember that not only had there not been a war fought this broadly across this continent since the Revolution, and not only had this war been fought brother on brother, but the Civil War was fought with singular brutality. There had been many technological advances between the last war, the Mexican-American War, and the Civil War, and the generals, who had all studied together at West Point, after all, had simply not adjusted their tactics or their expectations to accommodate all of this putative advancement. Much of the barbarity of the Civil War happened very close to where we're standing right now. I was struck, in fact, on my way here by words like Manassas and Shenandoah, now homes to Walmarts and Home Depots that you just drive through without a moment's thoughts. The Shenandoah Valley alone saw 362 armed conflicts in the four years of Civil War. And in Virginia, in 1 year alone, in 1862, there were over 130,000 casualties. So the women were volunteering as nurses at the field hospitals and so forth, and many of them were the very feminists who had worked in the North on abolition, and they had set aside their fight for women's rights to volunteer and to help their men through the war, and they had welcomed the war. But they were very aware of these ghastly numbers, and no amount of enthusiasm for the extremely worthy cause could mitigate the outright trauma that they felt witnessing the consequences of all this modern industrial ingenuity being applied with enthusiasm to the cause of one human being killing another. All wars end this way, with a promise that it won't happen again, with a recognition of all the brutality and all sorts of vows never to repeat the mistakes made. But by 1870, there was another war looming across Europe, the Franco-Prussian War, and Julia Ward Howe was driven to one conclusion, that mankind had arrived at a point of no return, that his adeptness at invention had far outpaced his moral imagination. Something had to change, paradigms needed shifting, and they had to happen soon. So Howe emerged from the Civil War determined that the course of history had for too long been diminished by the absence of women's voices. She was thoroughly convinced that women, in particular mothers, if they brought their full voices to addressing the world's problems, that the conflicts of the modern age would be solvable by other measures, and that war would become a thing of the past. She believed that a mother's sensibility might just be the only counterweight that had been lacking up to that point, and so she dedicated to the rest of her life to fighting for peace. In 1870, she wrote an extraordinary poem called the Mother's Day Proclamation and issued a call for an international Mother's Day of Peace. I'm particularly moved by the first stanza of the poem. We will not have questions answered by irrelevant agencies. Our husbands will not come to us reeking with carnage for caresses and applause. Our sons will not be taken from us to unlearn all that we have been able to teach them of charity, mercy, and patience. We, the women of one country, will be too tender of those of another to allow our sons to be trained to injure theirs. As a mother, I cannot tell you how much those lines affect me. I feel like I've spent years trying to teach my sons about charity and mercy and patience. And more often than not, I feel like I'm forced to teach them these things against everything they see in politics, in popular culture, in school, in the public discourse, and even in certain aspects of the religious sphere. Julia Ward Howe spent her life fighting for the idea of an international Mother's Day of Peace, and finally gave up. After her death, a succession of women fought for it as well, but somewhere along the way, the idea of peace was dropped. The fact that it was a call for international cooperation was dropped. The political nature of was dropped and eventually disappeared altogether. It wasn't until four decades later that the YMCA, not the YWCA, declared their support for the holiday, and in 1912, an article in the Florist Review said with amazing shamelessness that this was, quote, a holiday that could be exploited. Some things never change. Naturally, from here, things moved very quickly. Quick update. Wait a second. Maru, Ginobili drives to the basket and throws it down. Spurs lead by 8. Okay. In 1914, Woodrow Wilson signed the holiday into law. And lest you feel tempted to like Woodrow Wilson for this, I would remind you this was the height of the women's suffrage movement. Woodrow Wilson's administration was jailing and beating women for protesting simply for the right to vote. Howe's stated intention for this day had been to enhance women's political currency and to create a credible space for their discourse, specifically about militarism and peace, but as it was finally enacted, it did the opposite. Wilson would never have signed it if it had been any other way. After all, once the idea of the holiday as an opportunity for public political discourse had drained away, it was reduced to a quiet, personal, patronizing pat on the head, a gardenia corsage and dinner at Applebee's, and a day on which jewelers' revenues can be relied upon to buoy up their businesses. I swear to you that I have done this. Google the word revenues and Mother's Day. It's pretty depressing. Here's one of the articles that pops up. Mother's Day trumps Black Friday for digital picture frames. And mum's the word for increasing revenues in May. Now, I don't mean to sound cynical about dinner at Applebee's. I love a blooming onion as much as anybody else. But what was important and powerful and public about the idea of Mother's Day was suddenly replaced by what was trivial and small and private. The iron wall that divides the personal from the political, the social system that relegates women to the domestic sphere and ascribes negligible value to the responsibilities of that sphere, was reinforced, not broken down by the holiday. And to this day, it trades in sentimentality and faux nostalgia, let's face it, for all that we imagine was and might not have been, rather than in idealism and hope and action on behalf of what might be made to happen in the future. The commercialization of the holiday was so egregious that Anna Jarvis in 1923, who was the woman who finally succeeded in getting it passed, actually sued to have it stopped. She said she regretted ever making it happen and actually died a pauper, spent every last penny trying to fight the holiday Mother's Day. And here's the last blast of irony for you. Her grave was paid for by the Florist Review. So now you know when my children call me Debbie Downer. I can suck the fun out of all holidays. Just give me a chance with the Easter Bunny for a few minutes. I will show you what I can do. But I still love Mother's Day because, let's face it, our mothers and our fathers do sacred work and they should be honored for what they do. But I don't want us all to forget that we missed a chance for something really special and important in papering over the origins of this day and in forgetting the hard-won wisdom of the women who suggested the idea. And it's the invisibility of this story that exasperates me, that a holiday that none of us dare forget. And Joshua, you're in the group here somewhere, and if you forget, you're in serious trouble. That holiday in a country, that holiday has a history so steeped in peace in a country that spent most of the last century at war is a sad and telling fact. It's one of the many important lessons of history that's left to languish in between the brighter lines of what we're taught in class. And it's a reminder, really, that history is a puzzle that's missing half its pieces, and we really shouldn't satisfy ourselves to know that we know the whole story. But remember this, what Howe originally posited was an International Mother's Day of Peace because she felt down to the deepest part of her soul that a woman brings a commitment to peace with her when she talks about politics that is visceral and uncompromising and that functions as on a moral wavelength that is nearly impossible to counter. Why? Because there's hardly a culture or society on earth that doesn't assign to its women a particular set of duties. Because in nearly every place you can name, they not only have the babies, yes, and educate them, they feed, clothe, house, and care for them. They take care of the elderly and disabled. They care for the sick. They dress the dead for burial. The vast majority of the duties they're assigned are considered menial and thankless. But these are the very duties that are in measure equal to their dismissal, both necessary and essential. They are what existentially binds all of us together as human across race, class, geography, and time. It is about at this point that I talk about the relationship of women to peace that people start to object. Yes, women are violent too. And there are plenty of examples from Joan of Arc through Margaret Thatcher, and we can all name them. In fact, try getting between me and a chocolate brownie, and I'll show you what violent looks like. Even when women have not been leaders in wartime, they have always served an important function on what we call the sidelines by offering carrots and sticks. But shouldn't the fact that we can all name the same handful of women leaders at least give us pause? Isn't it a bit disingenuous to claim that a handful of counterexamples are enough of an argument to overcome millennia, during which there has been an unmistakable and inarguable disproportionate number of men who have started, fought, and ended wars? There has never been a human activity more determined by gender than war. The Fortune 500 offers more statistical variation on gender roles. So are women less aggressive than men? And if so, does biology make it so? There's certainly been a lot of energy invested in the arguments both for and against the idea, and I'm not really convinced that the answer is going to make any difference. The fact is that social roles have emerged over thousands of years, and they're so tangled up with biology, I don't think we'll ever be able to get to the bottom of their origins. But the social roles are what link women to the duties of attending to life. And it's the linkage to the duties of attending to life that links women in a special way to peace. And let's be clear, as much as there are plenty of women who are quite aggressive, there are likewise plenty of men who would prefer not to resolve every conflict with aggression. I spend a lot of time reading about war and aggression and about the inexplicable cruelty which men and women are both capable of in times of war. And not only do I not recognize myself anywhere in those people, but I don't see any of the men I know there either. The fact is that not only are women not in all the rooms where wars are started and ended, all kinds of men aren't there either. Fewer than 2% of all signatories to peace agreements in the last 10 years have been women. But then again, how many of the male signatories are at all like any of the young men graduating with the class of 2012 today? Why? Perhaps because at most peace talks, the primary requirement of admission is a willingness to shoot your way in the door. Masculine posturing is the language of these rooms, and force is their only acceptable currency. That is why women are seldom accepted in them, and that is why so often when they are in them, they're marginalized, ignored, and derided. During the Irish peace talks, the only thing the two sides could agree on was that they didn't want women in the room. And when women did stand up and speak, the men mooed. During one of the Sudanese peace talks, the men objected to the inclusion of women, get this, because the women had a tendency to compromise. And let's face it, from locker rooms to construction sites to Senate meeting rooms and peace talks, men are far harder on each other about not being man enough for the job than they ever are on us. So it occurs to me, if women can make their way into these rooms in numbers enough to change the dynamics, what might they also make possible for the men in them? It occurs to me that as we have defined it so far, that hyper-aggressive masculinity that we see in most public life might feel as much like an ill-fitting straitjacket on you guys as a fluffy pink taffeta dress would feel like on me. Masculinity, as currently on display in popular culture and political life, is a grotesque and restrictive way of understanding the project of making a life with meaning as a man. And yet we hardly ever analyze it as the social construct that it is. And let's be clear here, this is not an assault on masculine men. And I'm not questioning the amazing men and women who populate our military. Some of the finest people I've met are wearing American military uniforms. But any one of those people in uniform would be the first person to tell you that Rambo would more represent their idea of a perfect soldier than Shirley Temple would. And it is Rambo and his brothers that have infected our popular mythology. It is Rambo that is the construct we have failed to unpack. And it is Rambo that is used as a social bludgeon on young men who dare to ask for a better way to look at what it is to be a man than to be a subliterate ogre who answers every question with a bullet. Opinions? Yes, I have a few. But wait, let me see. Update from Henry. Ray Allen is listed as a game time decision for Celtics-Hawks game tonight. Uh-oh. And, oh wait, I got an MLB update. Reds are up 2-0. Okay. There. So the problem is this narrowly defined notion of masculinity, a notion that is wielded by, in fact, a slim swath of humanity as a means of social control, a cudgel that preserves a status quo that serves not very many people well at all. But those it does serve, it serves with abundance. So that's why, guys, I think this is about you. When we talk about women, bringing women to the center of the political sphere, we are not simply talking about inclusion, we are talking about paradigm shift. Women in critical mass, in places where decisions are made, reduce the value of force and masculinity as political and social currency, and by introducing alternative modes of problem solving. And in sidelining masculinity as the only means by which to get credibility, they make spaces hospitable not only to other women, but to all kinds of men. If biology has given me any kind of insight that inclines me toward peace, it is the insight that a woman has at the moment she's about to give birth. It is seeing with absolute unvarnished clarity the idea that we can't live without each other. That in that moment, were I not surrounded by a circle of loving, supportive arms, were I not willing to relax into those arms and let them bear me up in my weakest, most vulnerable moment, I would not be able to survive, much less succeed at the best thing I've ever done, which is to give birth. That insight, rather than a moment of weakness, is a gift of enormous significance. It taught me about interdependence. It made me better prepared and more likely to welcome the reality of my own limitations. So many of us look at a map and see the lines that separate one country from another as facts, not the fiction that they are. I was just in Istanbul last week, and I challenge you to tell me at what point halfway across the Bosphorus, Europe stops and Asia starts. It's ridiculous. I have crossed the equator in cars and boats and airplanes, and not one of them ever went bump when the moment of crossing came. Have you ever noticed that the darkest lines on our maps are the ones that exist only in our imaginations? What if we chose to see those lines as visible stitches instead? The lines that connect us rather than divide. The lines that show we are one fabric drawn together, not a collection of separate pieces falling apart. And any woman who sews can tell you that a seam where two pieces are brought together can, with enough care and attention, be made the strongest part of the cloth. Women, having been left out of the economic and political systems of reward that reinforce our idea of global separateness, having been left so often to those chores that feel insignificant but make us universal humans, not just citizens of states, are therefore more likely to look at an other and see herself. And if there is any kind of voice for which we have a political crying need, it is the voice that understands the interdependent nature of life. So this is all about paradigm shift. And paradigm shift is hard. Paradigm shift is frightening. Paradigm shift is enormous. But we have to have the courage to imagine another world is possible and waiting for us to make it. So to give you courage, I want to leave you with a poem. It's a poem I've given each of my kids as they left for college. And it's all about change, not fighting it, but loving it. Want the change. Be inspired by the flame where everything shines as it disappears. The artist, when sketching, loves nothing so much as the curve of the body as it turns away. What locks itself in sameness has congealed. Is it safer to be gray and numb? What turns hard becomes rigid and is easily shattered. Pour yourself out like a fountain. Flow into the knowledge that what you are seeking finishes often at the start and ending begins. Every happiness is the child of a separation it did not think it could survive. And Daphne, becoming a laurel, dares you to become the wind. Congratulations to all of you, and may God protect you in these years to come. Best of luck.
Thank you so much. Please turn in your books to Guide My Feet, and let's stand to sing this together.
Thank you so much, Dr. Disney, for those wonderful words and encouragement. At this time, I'd like to invite the faculty and staff of EMU to please stand so the graduates and your families can thank you for making EMU the special place that it is. Would the faculty and staff please stand to be recognized? Thank you. Dr. Anne Marie Early, Associate Professor of Counseling and Director of the Masters in Counseling Program, will assist with the hooding for those who are receiving master's degrees today.
President Schwarzendruber, faculty, Board of Trustee representatives, parents, family, friends, I am honored to present the Master of Arts in Conflict Transformation, the Master of Arts in Counseling, the Master of Arts in Education, the Master of Business Administration, and the Master of Science in Nursing, graduating classes of 2012, on this occasion of the 94th annual commencement of Eastern Mennonite University. We recognize the following persons: those who have completed requirements for the Master of Arts in Conflict Transformation, the Master of Arts in Counseling, the Master of Arts in Education, Master of Business Administration, and Master of Science in Nursing degree, May 2012. Those who will complete requirements for the Master of Arts in Conflict Transformation, the Master of Arts in Counseling, the Master of Arts in Education, and Master of Business Administration, Master of Science in Nursing degree, summer or December 2012. Will the master's degree candidates please stand for the conferring of degrees? President Schwarzendruber, on behalf of the Eastern Mennonite University faculty, I present these candidates for their degrees.
Upon the recommendation of the faculty of Eastern Mennonite University, and upon the authority vested in me by the Board of Trustees of the University, the Mennonite Education Agency, and the Commonwealth of Virginia, I confer upon each of you as presented the degrees Master of Arts in Conflict Transformation, Master of Arts in Counseling, Master of Arts in Education, Master of Business Administration, and Master of Science in Nursing, with all the rights, privileges, and honors pertaining thereto. We commission you to share the living faith to which God has called you. With this degree, we further urge you to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. You may move your tassels from right to left. And you may be seated.
I am honored to present the students who have completed the requirements for the Graduate Certificate in Conflict Transformation and the Graduate Certificate in Peacebuilding and Conflict Transformation in Educational Settings. Will Graduate Certificate candidates please stand?
On behalf of Eastern Mennonite University, I wish to recognize you as presented for the intensive study and achievement in completing the requirements of the course prescribed and therefore award you the Graduate Certificate in Conflict Transformation and the Graduate Certificate in Peace Building and Conflict Transformation in Educational Settings. We commission you to share the living faith to which God has called you. With this certificate, we further urge you to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. You may be seated.
President Schwarzendruber, faculty, Board of Trustees representatives, parents, family, friends, I am honored to present the graduating class of 2012 on this occasion of the 94th annual commencement of Eastern Mennonite University. We recognize the following: all who have completed requirements for the Associate of Arts degree, December 2011. All who have completed requirements for the Bachelor of Arts degree, December 2011. All who have completed requirements for the Bachelor of Science degree, December 2011. All who have completed requirements for the Associate of Arts degree, April 2012. All who have completed requirements for the Bachelor of Arts degree, April 2012. All who have completed requirements for the Bachelor of Science degree, April 2012. Those who will complete requirements for the Bachelor of Arts degree, summer or December 2012. Those who will complete requirements for the Bachelor of Science degree, summer or December 2012. Those who will complete requirements for the Certificate in Pastoral Ministry, September 2012. Will the undergraduate class of 2012 please stand for the conferring of degrees? President Schwarzendruber, on behalf of the Eastern Mennonite University faculty, I present these candidates for their respective degrees.
Upon the recommendation of the faculty of Eastern Mennonite University, and on the authority vested in me by the University Board of Trustees, the Mennonite Education Agency, and the Commonwealth of Virginia, I confer upon each of you as presented the degrees of Associate in Arts, Bachelor of Arts, Bachelor of Science, and Certificate in Pastoral Ministry, with all the rights, privileges, and honors pertaining thereto. We commission you to share the living faith to which God has called you. With this degree, we further urge you to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. You may move your tassels from right to left. And you may be seated. We recognize that many of you have come to honor a particular graduate today, and it's understandable that you may be eager to show a little enthusiasm if they receive their diploma. I remind you there are more than 400 graduates to be honored, and we would like for each of them to receive the recognition they deserve. And that will be most possible if your enthusiasm is moderate enough so that each graduate's name can be heard when announced. And we also recognize that some of you will want to take photos of your graduate. Please take them quickly and then step back for others to have their place. Finally, we would invite you to hold additional greetings until after the service, when there will be adequate time to meet each other on the lawn following the recessional. Thank you for being respectful to each other.
Now, will the graduates prepare to come forward to receive your diplomas as I read your name? We will begin with the Master of Arts. This year's CJP graduating class includes their 400th graduate. Please hold your applause for the graduates until the end. Abu Ag Ahihoya. Claudius Smith Coleman. Barbie E. Fisher. Muhammad Allah Ghanem. Brian R. Gum. Emily R. Hirschberger. Chelsea A. Holsoppel. Amanda L. Yancey Robinson. Farron Keezer. Sandra Beatrice Keenitz. On behalf of EMU and the Commencement Planning Committee, I want to express our sincere apology to Hong Sok Kim, who we know as Scott Kim. Scott's home country is listed incorrectly in the program. It should read Republic of Korea. We deeply regret this unfortunate mistake. Hong Sok Kim. Saraya Sadid. Daryl S. Snyder. Nathan W. Taves. Lita M. Werner. Chiami Nakajima. Lindsay Elizabeth Barrett. Dana Buskirk Blau. Leslie Ann Colon Melendez. Sarah Teresa Defnall. Jessica Eloise Dunn. Erin Marie Gum. April Dawn Gunderson. Joshua M. Herod. Andrew L. Johnston. Joy Y. Martin. Casey Christine Owens. Susan Ann Peck. Christina Marie Percival. Ryan David Senator. Erica Stewart. Lindsay Marie Whitmore. Gary Wilson. Robin Bentley Zook. Erica Bengler Cooper. Laurie Elizabeth Bundy. Elisha Marie Burkholder. Robert P. Busk, Jr. Ashley Dawn Furman. Philip Carl Geiser. Susan L. Grigas. Chantel Renee Hensley. Rachel A. Jenner. Lisa Ann Nick. Rachel B. Mason. Kristen Lene Miller. Kara J. Moore. Lori A. Noyes. Denise Elaine Priest. Nicole Elizabeth Sheik. Shong Rang Jenny Park. Kendall Lynn Schwarzendruber. Lucinda Grace Schwarzendruber. Kevin Mast Burnett. Victor D. Coburn. Jeffrey Blaine Dallas, Jr. Paul Edward Eberly. Aaron Scott Green. Gwendolyn Adele Palmer. Travis Shane Pettit. Eric Matthew Wampler. Dorothy Marie Welsh. Tammy Lynette Briggs. Please join me in congratulating these recipients of the Master of Arts in Conflict Transformation, Master of Arts in Counseling, Master of Arts in Education, Master of Arts in Business Administration, Master of Science in Nursing, and a graduate certificate.
Some baccalaureate degree students will be graduating with academic honors today. You will find the designation of honors listed in the back of your commencement booklet. Now, will the undergraduate students please prepare to come forward to receive your diplomas as I read your names. Stephanie Nicole DeHart, magna cum laude. Chelsea Lee Hahn. Lubov D. Slashova, cum laude. Jessica Lynn Sullivan. Igor Scotty Tioso. Sherry A. Babcock in absentia. Christy Annette Branch. Cynthia Lou Brislin. Philip D. Bryant, Jr. David Lee Elmore. Joy F. Elmore. Heather K. Fry. John P. Folk. Rochelle S. Glover. Leanne Marie Gochenauer, magna cum laude, in absentia. Cynthia Harlow, in absentia. Michael C. Henry. Marcy Amber Hilbert. Jeremy C. Holloway. Kelly Christick Hopkins, cum laude. John R. Horst. David H. Horton. John H. Huffman, cum laude. Nancy Elaine Lehman. Nancy Marcellus, cum laude. Glenn G. Martin. Stephanie B. Mason. Elizabeth Noel Mast, cum laude. Joseph Blee Moffat. Valerie A. Polhamus, in absentia. Angie Hinkle Poole. Anita Scott, in absentia. Karen Parker Snar, summa cum laude. Laura J. Sumi, magna cum laude. Madge K. Trobaugh, in absentia. Gordon David Wyrick. Kalisha Elizabeth Esch. Susan Eiley Alexander. Adela Gibbons Barrett, cum laude. Jamie Lee Blosser. Gabriel Daniel Brunk. Aaron Jacob Bridge, cum laude. Rose Catherine Meyer Beiler, summa cum laude, honors program. Patrick M. Campbell. Andrew Neil Claussen, summa cum laude. Timothy Sebrin Cox. Brendan Tyler Durstein, summa cum laude, Cords of Distinction. Casey Nicole Detweiler, summa cum laude. Joel Clifton DeWald, summa cum laude. Travis John Dirksen,
cum laude.
Grace M. Engel, magna cum laude, Cords of Distinction. Bonnie Marie Fletcher. Hakuna Matata, Patrick Kelly Fox. Charisse Joy Garber, summa cum laude, Honors Program. Lainey M. Garcia. Lara Renee Gaiman, cum laude. Tyler Kent Groff. Martin Alexander Harrison Five. Timothy Sullenberger Heishman, magna cum laude. Nathan James Heatwall Hirschberger, summa cum laude, Honors Program. Jamie Lynn Heiner. Daryl Octavius Hinson, Jr. Catherine Wabel Horst, magna cum laude. Simone Danielle Horst, summa cum laude, Honors Program. Katie Anna Jansen, summa cum laude, Honors Program, Cords of Distinction. Bethany Joy Johnson, cum laude, Honors Program. Samuel Galen Kaufman, summa cum laude. Heather Nicole Kennel, cum laude. Chelsea Rebecca Kite, magna cum laude. Julia Josephine King, cum laude. Catherine Elizabeth Landis, summa cum laude, Cords of Distinction. Valerie M. Landis. Kimberly Irene Lane, cum laude. Erica Grace Lehman. Jordan Joel Ernest Lehman. Stacy Lynn Lehman, summa cum laude, Honors Program. Sarah Jayanti Leland. Brian E. Loy. Rebecca Elaine Martin, summa cum laude, Honors Program. Bethany A. Maven. Evan Tyler McCarthy, magna cum laude, Honors Program. Valerie Ann Metzler, summa cum laude. Carmen Marie Miller, magna cum laude. Kelby Lynn Miller. Brooke Andrew Musselman, magna cum laude. Leah Ellen Ott. Nolan James Prock. Michelle Ramirez, Cords of Distinction.
John William Reeser, magna cum laude. Justin Reuben Roth. Sarah Nicole Shanehals, summa cum laude. Bryce D. Shank, magna cum laude. Esther Danielle Shank, summa cum laude. Austin Isaac Shank, magna cum laude. Daniel John Sigmunds. Brandon M. Stickley. Doran Lee Stuckey. Matthew J. Schwarzentruber, cum laude. Jason M. Tate. Stuart Tavares. Krista Joy Townsend, summa cum laude. Kelly Alexandra Weaver. Anna Catherine Welk, summa cum laude. Brent A. Yoder. Evan J. Yoder, cum laude, honors program. Philip Daniel Yoder. Julie Diane Young, cum laude. Marla Lynn Young, cum laude. Hannah Sharon Arts, cum laude. Laura Blair Beidler, cum laude, honors program. Rachel Marie Bell, cum laude. Jessica Marie Blosser. Jackie Lynn Bohannon. Eric James Broderson. Brittany Claire Burke. Jessica Nicole Conley, summa cum laude. Brianna Laura Durstein, cum laude. Sarah Vanessa Durstein, cum laude. Yana A. Dronova, summa cum laude. Rochelle Christiana Fisher. Kendall J. Garber, magna cum laude. Lisa J. Gingrich, cum laude. Justin Andrew Hershey. Laura Louise Hershey, cum laude, honors program. Joseph Ray Hostetler, summa cum laude, honors program. Michael L. Horst, cum laude. Benjamin Z. Yancey. Clothilda Dotto Johnson, cum laude, Cords of Distinction.
Julia Grace Johnson, magna cum laude. Jeremiah L. Jordan, summa cum laude. Lisa Simone Lee. Rebecca Inez Maldonado Nofziger, cum laude, Cords of Distinction. Carla Marie Muma. Mwoka Ndambuki Musau. Stuart William Nasiger, summa cum laude, Honors Program. Anthony J. Norman. Justina Velasquez Ramsey. Andrew Hershey Richter, cum laude, Cords of Distinction. Nicole Catherine Ropp. Carrie Elizabeth Slaybaugh, summa cum laude. Allison Renee Shearer, magna cum laude. Audrey Elizabeth Sims, cum laude. Francis Edward Sims. Nina Marie Stewart. Jill Renee Schwarzendruber, cum laude. Sarah Beth Traber. Kate E. Vanderzwag, cum laude. Jesse Allen Weaver. Nathaniel S. Weaver, cum laude. Rebecca Sterling Williams, cum laude. Nicole Ashley Yoder. Kelsey Marie Adams. Nardas M. Alemu. Benjamin Waverly Bailey, Cords of Distinction. Megan E. Barber. Stephen Clay Boffman. Heidi Marie Bauman, summa cum laude. Hannah Elizabeth Beachy, magna cum laude. Craig Kendall Buller. Sebastian Jacob Beiler. Anka Maria Chirvasuta, cum laude. Danielle Marie Furr. Elizabeth Renee Ganaway, summa cum laude. Katrina Suzanne Gehring, summa cum laude. Brandon Thomas Habron, Cords of Distinction. Betty Jo Heatwall. Stephen William Henry,
Jessica Caitlin Hearn. Todd Austin Hooley. Justin Ryan King. Maria Rose Lehman. Corey John Martin. Joshua Allen Martin. Rachel L. Miller. Whitney Lynn Miller. Ashley M. Mills. Malaika Nkemdalim Emily Nwankwo. Jonathan Edwin Nice. Camila Pandolfi, magna cum laude. Rebecca Joy Peachy, magna cum laude. Joel Aaron Rittenhouse. Lucas Paul Schrockhurst, cum laude, honors program. Danielle Nicole Scott. Jordan Elliott Shetler. Heather Renee Sprinkle. Amanda Lee Steyer, magna cum laude, honors program. Michelle Lee Tenney. Jesse John Tolliver. Katie Elizabeth Weaver. Kendall Ryan Wanger. Conrad James Yutzi. Janelle Aldifer, in absentia. Dorcas Osita Ameka, in absentia. Miriam Troyer Basinger, cum laude. Lori Lynn Belvin, in absentia. Tabitha Nicole Bowman. Kevin Daniel Chico. Susan E. Clark, summa cum laude. B.J. Clater, cum laude. Andrew W. Daniel, cum laude. Benjamin Allen Delp. Kimberly A. Elkins. Jordan Shoup Fisher. Alicia R. Floyd. Jessica Lee Frankfurt, in absentia. Candace Wright Gardner. Caitlin J. Golding. David W. Graham, in absentia. Trevor Paul Haas. Jessica J. Hahn.
Pamela June Herrig. Donna F. Harlow. Tony R. Hartman. Paige Wade Hensley. Natalie R. Heiner, summa cum laude. Zachary B. Hoffman. Ashley N. Holsinger. Sharon B. Huff. Shandy Medlin Howard, cum laude. Takeshi R. Howe in absentia. Brian D. Hughes. Virginia A. Judd. Joshua Austin King. Mitchell Tyler Leap. Barbara A. Lorenz. Diane M. McQuaid, cum laude. Elise Ann Mann. Teresa S. Moran in absentia. Jerrica Catherine Martin. Sarah Elizabeth Martin. Anne Marie Michelle in absentia. Holly Linda Morris. Tracy Marie Moyers. Maureen Nanyonga. Travis Edward Nice. Justin Scott Rittenhouse. Jean C. Rummel in absentia. Corey Michael Rickner. Judith Irene Showalter. Miranda Lynn Simmons, summa cum laude. Lisa H. Spruan. Maxim L. Stadnik. Holly Faye Stansberry. Jennifer K. Talley in absentia. Wendy H. Teets in absentia. Rebecca H. Thorpe. Laura C. Turner. Erica Nicole Wojciechowski.
Commencement is a day of celebration and farewell, but it is not a final goodbye. We continue to think of each one of you as part of our community scattered around the globe. At commencement, we send you with joy to carry what you learned here to new places and people. To mark this transition, graduates, please stand as you are able and receive these words of commissioning. Graduates, today we send you, as God's Spirit calls, to serve and lead wherever your paths may take you in this wide world. Go as one of us, extending the mission of our university into a world crying out for peace and justice. Bear witness to faith, serve with compassion, and walk boldly in the way of nonviolence and peace. In our community of learning, you have acquired new knowledge, values, and skills. Use them to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. Go receiving and sharing the good news of love, grace, healing, and hope to all you meet along the way. Our prayers go with you. May God bless each of you with courage, wisdom, and joy for your journey. You may be seated.
Diane Bailey, parent of graduating senior Benjamin Bailey, and member of the Parent Council, will offer the prayer of blessing. Following the prayer, the faculty and graduates will recess to the lawn above the fountain. We invite you to remain seated in your seats until all the graduates have recessed to the fountain. Following the recessional, the audience is dismissed.
Will you join your hearts with mine in prayer? Gracious and loving God, we come to you today with hope-filled hearts, thankful for the many ways we have been blessed. As we are surrounded by the beauty of your creation, with the warm sun shining upon the mountains and the valleys, the rivers and streams, we cannot but rejoice in the wonders of your works. As part of your creation, we marvel that you knew us before we were even formed in our mother's wombs, and you know the plans that are set before us. When we were born, you breathed your life-giving spirit into each one of us. For we know that you are a God of dreams and visions, calling us to do your work in this world. We also know that it takes extraordinary strength and courage to walk a path that is different from the world. On this day of new beginnings, a time of transition, we offer praise and thanks for our very lives and the ways in which we are held, nurtured, and sustained each day. As parents, spouses, family, friends, professors, and mentors of all types, we pray for a blessing to be poured over each of these graduates. May you know the breadth and length, the height and width of Christ's divine compassionate love for you. May you be blessed to walk boldly in this world and be your truest selves in all that you do. May you be filled with wide-eyed hope, boundless love, inexhaustible imagination, and a radical creativity as you seek to bring God's realm here on earth. May you be invigorated for mission, and for some that will be in places that are near and familiar to you, and for others it will be in places where you never imagined you would go. May you have the strength and courage to cross real or invisible boundaries and to show love with open hands and heart instead of closed fists and minds. May you seek to reflect light into the darkest corners and deepest crevices of the world, places where light has never before shined. May you always live your lives seeking justice for those who are persecuted, oppressed, marginalized, and downtrodden. May you learn to love your enemies as you love your best friend. May you become mentors to future generations, guiding them toward a peaceable world. May you continue to build each other up to live in God and walk a Christian love and faith. And may you know God's ever-abiding presence as you walk humbly upon this journey called life. And finally, may you always dance with joy in your heart, knowing that you are God's beloved. We ask for all these blessings because we believe that all things are possible through Jesus the Christ, who embodied this love and came to turn the world right side up again. Go forth now in love and in peace and be faithful witnesses to the world. In the name of the resurrected and ever-living Christ, we all say, Amen.